Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and last week, my co-host Jessica Lewis and I made different predictions about who would go this week. But only one of us was right.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who that was.
David, you're right.
Okay, listen, I'm just going to share with the viewers something you just shared with me, how your son isn't too keen on some of our introductions. I don't like this one, okay? I agree with your son. That was a terrible introduction. We don't always need to hear about David, you're right, all the time, okay? Let's just move past it, okay?
Well, sure, you would say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, you were right this week.
Congrats. Yeah, again, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, for anyone who needs a reminder, well, you could either see my TikTok or, you know, in case you didn't.
Of course.
I had looked at the preview and determined through a kind of reverse Hubicki's law that if they wanted us to think Danny found the idol and would be safe, that meant he didn't find the idol, pretended he did, and would be voted out. And bingo.
Congratulations.
Yes. You I could tell you put your whole heart into that, too.
I know. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah.
Really. Truly excited.
All right. Well,
now I wish I had the Packers shirt on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Everybody's like, what is she talking about? All right. Pre-game. As much as I love being right about such things, in case you didn't know, that's not actually what we're here to do. It's just how we start.
No, it's how David starts. It has nothing to do with Jessica.
Sure. That was you singing. Don't tell me that.
I am so angry with myself for actually singing that song at this point, because now it is. Is it like your alarm clock in the morning?
No, I wouldn't want to do that. That would be, you know, that would be going too far.
It's just your ringtone at this point. Anyway,
my theme song when I walk into a room.
Oh, I love this. This is so exciting. I would like the Imperial March when I walk in, but I'm just...
That's what it used to be, but I replaced it.
I think that's a downgrade. That's a really big downgrade. Much less threatening.
Maybe you can sing David, you're right, to the Imperial March.
I'll work on it.
Okay. You do that. All right. Well, anyway, like I said, that's not what we're actually here to do.
No, we're here to be sad.
We're here to be sad because Danny got voted out.
Yes.
Actually, you know, we're not here to be sad. We may be sad, but we're here to compare his game to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. We'll look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, Ponderosa videos, and more. To see the most recent version of the rules, go to our dedicated page at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. Now, before we get to the rules and before we're sad, we have some things to talk about from the episode. For me this week, it was really only a couple things. So I'll see if you have anything else. I'd like to start with a different prediction. near the beginning of the episode, Xander said about Ricard, there's no chance he's getting past another vote if he doesn't win immunity. At that point, I immediately knew it was pretty much a guarantee that Ricard would get past another vote, probably by winning immunity.
Right. Ah,
poof, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Great job, yeah. Editors. You didn't telegraph that at all.
No, not at all.
But yeah, I do have to say that when Ricard is competing in these challenges, he just looks so cool, calm, collected. Yes. He walked over that balance beam like it was nothing while everybody else or most of the others were struggling. He worked on that puzzle and you could just like kind of see it click in his brain when he realized mm-hmm. what it said.
Yeah.
You know, watching him work in challenges, in discussions with other players, in tribal council, it really just is, you know, a beautiful thing.
No, it's very impressive because he is someone who is clearly able to maintain his composure when he is at your most like pressured moment, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be during an actual challenge or during tribal council, very, very even keel and never seems to lose the ability to just think through things calmly and coolly and know how to respond, which I think people struggle with when you're in those types of situations for sure, which is why he's done so incredibly well and made it this far because he has been able to process things so well. And you actually see it happening. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as what we think will happen, you know, will that mean he's the winner? Will it not? Well, you'll have to stay till the end of the podcast to find
that's right.
Out,
because we have to see if David's going to be wrong.
I could. Yeah, it could happen. Unlikely. to quote someone from your season. So that was really all I had from this episode because so much centered on things that we're going to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had anything else.
I did feel like this episode was kind of calm, really, even though there was a lot of things that happened at the tribal council, which I'm sure we will talk about. There did seem to feel like a calmness throughout the episode. Everyone was kind of just doing what they needed to do. Right. And there wasn't a whole lot of craziness transpiring. There was strategy discussions happening, but it seemed to be just, I don't know, it was just very, it wasn't as like exciting and alive like you kind of expect it to be at this point in the game. And I don't know if it's just because people have kind of lulled themselves into this sense of where their place is. And that was almost what it felt like, that everyone kind of understood, well, this is where I'm at right now. And there's not much I can do. And so that's why I feel like it was a little more calm than I would expect when you're down to six.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, there was just, like you said, I mean, it's, there was the game being played and that's all we need. You know, that made it a perfectly good episode.
Oh, and that, don't get me wrong. I love that we got to see some very genuine moments, especially with Deshaun and Danny. Mm-hmm. Those two are incredible human beings. And I loved watching them interact and just share moments with each other that were not game related. I love that Danny came clean about, you know,
about being a former Chicago Bear. Yes.
Yeah, that I'm sure he's going to appreciate that.
I don't know what else it could be. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I thought that was really great because it was just so genuine. And you can tell that Danny was doing that because he cares about Deshaun and wants to have a real relationship with him. Mm-hmm. So I really loved it. And when he walked out and said, you know, go Cowboys.
He said the Bears. That's what I heard. I don't know what you heard.
Listen, anyway, I just loved the genuineness of all of it. I thought it was really classy and I really appreciated Danny. And so I'm sure we're going to talk through all of that as well. But so it was a nice episode because it wasn't all crazy. It was very calm, but there were also those incredible, genuine moments that we got to appreciate about the players.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, then before we move on to see how Danny did, we just need to mention that the rules that we will be talking about come in a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form.
Ta-da, I have one behind me.
Yes, and
screen.
I do too, you know, next to the Bears. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll down to the poster, click it, and it will take you to where you can order one.
Mm-hmm. You should definitely order one. Holidays are coming. All kinds of good stuff happening.
That's right. And if you need extra gifts, you could also order it on a shirt. You can order a different version of the rules, the checklist version, on a shirt or on a mug or, you know, on a sweatshirt, you name it. So again, just go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed and, you know, click around, have fun.
And don't forget your TikTok.
Well, that's true. That too. I mean, that's obvious.
TikTok link is there.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We don't talk about that till later, but
yeah. All right. Well, I'm giving him a heads up.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, Danny knew he was in trouble. Mm. He was on the outside of the Core Alliance with only one other person. Xander had lied to him about the prior vote, and Ricard had the nerve to go and win immunity again. He knew it was down to himself or Deshaun, but how did he end up in this position? And why did the others boot him instead of Deshaun, even after Deshaun truth kamikazed himself in tribal council?
Mm.
It's time to figure out why Danny lost.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
The first and most important rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. We know that Danny and Deshaun were very tight, but unfortunately didn't get to see a whole lot of Danny from the strategy perspective, mm-hmm. even though there were always hints of it going on, and interviews have expanded on that. Even before we heard from Danny himself, JD, way back when, had told Dalton Ross that he, Danny, and Xander had made a deal with each other that involved protecting themselves and two other people from each of their tribes. Perhaps more interesting was Shan telling Mike Bloom that Danny was repeatedly involved in their conversations as she tried to hear out Deshaun, and that sometimes Deshaun would just walk up to the two of them and say, "I don't care who goes as long as it's not me," and then walk away. So it was Danny and her strategizing.
Right.
Now, Danny himself told Dalton, "What you didn't get to see was me actually playing the game and trying to make moves happen."
Yeah, I think that for Danny, unfortunately, the type of game he was playing wasn't allowing him to get credit through the edit, because I do think that he was playing with so many big personalities, mm-hmm. and Danny is someone who could have a big personality if he really wanted to, but that wasn't the approach he took playing this game. He was being very calm and collected, but clearly was much more involved in the conversations than what we saw. His interviews were so full of incredible nuggets of information that we never would have known but for reading what he actually experienced while he was out there and what we didn't get to see. And so I did learn a lot more about the strategy that he was presenting on the island, even though we saw him with the core group that he had aligned with and that there was decisions that were made that we did get to see. I feel like he was much more involved and really the person, I think, out of that four-person alliance that was keeping everybody kind of in check. That's what it sounded like from what I was reading in his interviews, that he really had to kind of maintain composure and make sure that everyone stayed, you know, where they needed to stay and stayed even about the whole process and what was going to happen. I feel like he was that calming force in the alliance.
Yeah. The way I would describe it, he was the angel on Deshaun's devilish shoulder. you know, he told Mike, what you didn't get to see was that Deshaun would often go on these crazy rants and have these crazy ideas and have a conflict with everybody on the beach. And I would be the person to go talk to him and say, "Hey man, this is not how you want to be right now. You have to back off and try to communicate with this person." So when you see him go to talk to Shan, I was in that conversation first. I said, "Hey, look, we're going to try to make this work. Make sure you guys can communicate so we can make this thing work." I did my best to look out for him and to help him keep his emotions in check.
Yeah.
And, you know, this directly impacted some of the votes. For example, on their side of that split double tribal council, Evie said in interviews that their chances were hurt by Danny being there, because otherwise they felt like they might have been able to use their growing relationship with Deshaun to save themselves. Evie added that Danny just kept hammering that Evie needed to be the target, keeping Deshaun focused on that goal.
Right.
And indeed, Danny kept pushing the idea of voting out the threats, especially Ricard. I look back at my notes. I have him mentioning the threat that Ricard poses at least four episodes running.
Right. It's fascinating to me. And this is, I think, part of Danny's problem. And I don't want to jump into, you know, rule two, because I do think that this was part of his strategy. By playing the way that he did and approaching the situations in the manner that he did caused him to miss out on certain opportunities, like really getting Ricard out of there. Because I do think that he was mentioning it. He wanted it to happen. He was telling people it needs to happen. But he wasn't pushing people hard enough to do it because of the way that he had been playing the game all along. He was very amenable to listening. He was also very amenable to talking to people about what he thought would be best. But I also don't think he wanted to stir the pot. And if it wasn't necessary to frustrate someone or to cause a problem, he wasn't going to. But he was reminding people, Ricard is a threat. Ricard needs to be voted out. And obviously, Ricard's winning immunity, so that's going to negatively affect the ability to do that. But no one is listening to Danny because he's never been the guy that's been pushing people to do things, but he has been actively engaged and involved in the conversations.
Right, right. And remember that going in, one thing that Danny wanted was for people to understand that the real threats were the strategists, not the guys with the big muscles. Now, he may have, you know, been a little biased in that regard in terms of what he wanted people to see. But still, that was, you know, what his goal was. Now, another thing that I think hurt Danny in the strategizing department, besides what you mentioned, was that he couldn't get on the same page with Xander to follow up on their Shipwheel Island agreement.
Yeah.
You know, Danny said he had to lie to Xander at the Evie vote, and he never regained that trust. He thought they had a deal to get rid of Ricard last week, but Xander lied to him, just as Danny had lied previously to Xander.
Yeah.
You know, Danny said in interviews that he tried to call it even this week and convince Xander to target Heather so they could have the four stronger competitors going against Ricard in the next immunity challenge. But Xander just wasn't going for that.
Yeah. And I think, too, Xander is very locked into how he wants his game to turn out and what he sees the end game being for him. And Danny is not part of that. That end goal, as far as Xander is concerned, because I do think Danny is someone who has relationships with people on the jury, is a very likable person. So as far as Xander is concerned, I don't want Danny to stick around. And so I don't think it's necessarily just about that lie that was told and then never really regaining that trust. I also think that Danny's game was not beneficial at all to Xander's game.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. All right, we can move into the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. Now, in the past couple podcasts, we've discussed whether Danny and Deshaun should have not told Liana about the Ricard plan, which appeared to lead to Liana telling Shan, Shan telling Ricard, Ricard flipping it, causing the whole alliance to implode. But
Danny, five times fast.
Yeah, no. but Danny dropped a bit of a truth bomb in his interviews by noting that, in fact, he told Deshaun and Liana that he would talk to Shan about the plan, and then he did so, getting her agreement. But then Shan and Liana talked, and Liana somehow either got things mixed up or exaggerated or overreacted or miscommunicated or whatever, to the point that she conveyed that the two guys were working to blindside Shan. Now, we heard those words used on the show, but I thought that she was just saying they're working to blindside you by getting rid of her card. But apparently it was conveyed the way it sounded. And this new information fills a lot of the mystery in about why Danny and Deshaun were so upset with Shan.
Yeah.
There were questions before about how could they be mad at her spilling the beans when they had never told her about the beans. But now we know they gave her all the beans and she dumped them in the fire. You know, now that was what they meant by her drawing a line in the sand about where she stood. As Danny told Mike, at that point, I felt like she had chosen Ricard over the group. So now we need to change our question from whether it was right for them to tell Liana to whether it was right for them to tell Liana and Shan.
Right. And the important component of all of this is Liana, because Danny said, if I've lost Shan, I've also lost Liana. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was just one person from their four that was making a decision to go with Ricard. And so then when you look at the numbers, now you have three against two. And so Danny knew at that point, the numbers were no longer in his favor.
Right.
And so that's another part of what we didn't really get to see, was that that was all something that Danny was processing. And that was why the decision was made, because he wasn't going to win if he had kept Shan there anyway. It wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, as far as telling them, I understand why he thought it would be a good idea. After all, before he realized what was going on, they were supposed to be a tight alliance to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though Deshaun had pointed out that if they didn't tell Shan, she had nowhere else to go, that isn't really the best way to keep an ally close.
Right.
You know, I guess they just didn't expect the outcome of Liana and Shan determining guys were going to blindside Shan. And again, I'm still not sure how they reached that conclusion. You know, Danny used the word miscommunication.
Yeah,
that's one hell of a miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Liana and Shan were working things out. They reasoned that if they were first taking out Shan's ally, next stop would be Shan herself. But whatever the cause, from my viewpoint, I'm going to say they didn't make a mistake by telling Liana and even Shan, because they were trying to keep the foursome together long term.
Right.
I don't think they could have foreseen the reaction.
No, I don't think so either. I think that part of what Danny and Deshaun were probably hoping to accomplish by including Shan and Liana in that discussion is trust. That, mm-hmm. listen, this is what's going to happen, and we want you to know what's happening. We all need to be involved in this together, because we are a solid four. If they hadn't told Liana and Shan, and then Ricard got voted out, even though he couldn't have because ended up winning immunity, but if that had been what the plan was, and then they found out later, well, then you have to question, where does the loyalty lie? Because they didn't tell us. We weren't, and we see a lot of people react when they are not involved in a vote and they right. are not included, and how it affects them. And I thought we were playing the game together and you kept me out of the vote. That has a huge impact too. Mm-hmm. So I think they were trying to prevent that from happening. And unfortunately, this is what ultimately ended up happening. It blew everything up.
Right, right. All right. Well, before we leave this rule, I want to mention something else Danny said in his interview with Gordon Holmes. And it's something that you actually brought up earlier, because it made me practically stand up and cheer. He noted that he was concentrating on playing his own game rather than trying to do things that look good on TV or making big moves. He played slow and steady and noted it doesn't have to be pretty to win. And mm-hmm. that's exactly the right way to view things. You're there to play the game, to win the game.
Yes.
And you avoid problems with the second rule by keeping that in mind.
Yes. And I made a joke to you before we started this that Danny and I should hang out. Because that was the approach that I took when I was going on to the show. Is I'm not here to be an entertainer or to be a character on TV. I'm here to win $1 million, and that's what I'm going to do.
But
and
now that you're might here not, to entertain and be a character on, well, at least YouTube.
Right. but it is an interesting thing to then see what the edit will do with someone who has made a decision to play the game that way, because you're not larger than life, and you're mm-hmm. and you're not jumping off the screen, and you aren't doing all of these things that come across a television screen really exciting and entertaining. You're just being a person on TV trying to win $1 million and figuring out the best path to take. So I really appreciate his approach, because I do think that that's the approach I was taking. And so I feel for him that now we're reading these interviews and learning so much about him that we never got to see on the show, because he was playing that quiet, even keel kind of game.
Yeah. Now, I do think they could have had very interesting scenes of him and Deshaun and Shan and that interaction.
Sure.
Oh, well, but wait, they had to throw some extra twists in there. So,
oh, we're going to talk about that. Oh, yeah,
we definitely will. But first, we've got a couple more rules here. So let's go to the third rule, which tells players to be flexible. What we saw on TV, this goes back to the same thing, didn't exactly lead us to conclude that Danny was necessarily following this rule. Then a lot more came out in the interview. So with all that in mind, how do you think Danny did here?
I think he really tried to be flexible because he really was looking at what his options were. We've already discussed he and Xander attempting to create a relationship when they went to the summit and then trying to follow up with that again later and keeping that option available to him. He was very desirous of working with the four, but when he realized that the foursome that he was aligned with wasn't going to work because now he's seeing that Shan's loyalty really is over with Ricard as opposed to with the four, then he switched things up there too. And so I think he was constantly trying to envision his game moving forward and what was the best way for his game to move forward and was willing to make changes along the way if he needed to. But he wasn't going to do anything crazy if he didn't have to.
Yeah. I mean, on TV, it looked very much like Danny had put almost all of his eggs in the Deshaun basket and then, you know, adding, I guess, side baskets for Shan and Liana. But
you're all about analogies today.
Yeah. That's not a very good analogy. I don't know that you want that many baskets hanging around. But but according to his interviews, he actually had, you know, quite a few different possible connections. You know, for example, he told Mike, I was able to be in an alliance with Shan, Liana, and Deshaun, and then have Sydney and relationships with Xander and Tiffany. The problem was, for him, one cut led to another. He was close to Sydney. She got voted out. He had a relationship with Tiffany. She got voted out.
Yep.
One by one, his options were removed and the walls just kind of closed in on him.
Yeah. And it was good that he was trying to have so many options, but he also kind of hurt himself here, too, because one of the components of the Sydney and Heather relationship was they didn't like each other. Right. And so Deshaun needed to maintain Heather and Danny needed to maintain Sydney. And unfortunately, Sydney got voted out much sooner. I mean, Heather's still there. So that's just a benefit to Deshaun at this point, because she has a better relationship with Deshaun than she did with Danny.
Right. All right. The fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. Now, we already discussed how Danny was the counterbalance to Deshaun when it came to both strategy and emotion. So it's safe to say, I think he was good at controlling his own emotions as well.
Yeah. And I'm so impressed with how he presented on the show, just because he's an NFL player. Right. And so he's someone who is very comfortable being in the limelight, being seen by lots of people. And it was so interesting to see him just kind of be just so easygoing and not like this larger than life character and really focusing on the game. I just thought it was incredible how he managed to make his decisions really, truly based upon game as opposed to emotion. And again, if we go back to the decision with Shan, that was a game decision.
Right.
That was definitely not an emotional decision. And so very impressive. And I don't know if it's because he plays in the NFL that he has to have a better understanding about how to keep himself in check. But I just kind of thought that maybe someone coming into the show with such a background, you know, would end up presenting as a larger than life kind of character. And then we didn't see that. We just saw Danny. It was really quite nice.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think part of it was, you know, he told Mike Bloom that he watched a lot of Survivor and would frequently see people freak out in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, someone says your name. Ah, you know, you go crazy.
Yes.
But he said he learned that it didn't really mean anything and you just had to stay calm.
Yes.
And so, for example, he didn't take it seriously when Nasir said his name early because Nasir didn't know Danny at that point.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I didn't panic. I knew that we had time to build a relationship and see where things would really go once we were all able to slow down and start talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that exemplified his game overall. He stayed calm and level even while bombs were exploding all around him.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, the fifth rule is all about the social game and reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. In the past two rules, we just discussed how Danny had multiple relationships, some of which we didn't see, and also how he kept everything
calm. I know
how
that feels, too.
Yeah. you're jumping ahead in my notes. In fact, he indicated in interviews that he actually surprised himself because his social relationships were doing so well.
They were incredible.
Yeah. You know, he told Dalton, if you listen to a lot of people's exit interviews and you see how I interacted with people, you would see that I actually had a lot of close relationships. Tiff, Evie, Xander, of course, Shannon, Liana. And I was amused that he then added, it was very interesting to see that that wasn't shown. And it was assumed that all of a sudden these people just loved me as a person. Now, you know, this is where, you know, you jumped ahead to here. You have maybe a little experience with that. I don't know.
It is kind of crazy when they just exclude entire relationships from the editing process. I understand they have to tell a story. I get it. You have to tell a story, but it's pretty frustrating when a large part of your story isn't shown because for whatever reason, they want to keep that out of the narrative they're presenting to the world. Mm-hmm. And for me, being as close as I was to Adam, who ended up winning the game and nobody saw that. And then when I voted for him, they were like, well, what happened? She liked Ken. Why didn't she vote for Ken? And I'm like, because I really liked Adam too. You know, so it's like this. And so I really feel for Danny that they've left that out. But I also think it would have been beneficial for us to understand the Deshaun Danny decision, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone's like, why did they pick Deshaun over Danny? Why did they vote Danny out? Because everybody on the jury loves Danny, right?
Because that's one of the reasons that we'll get to. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that they've taken that story out of the actual show. And then people are left wondering, well, why didn't they keep Danny? Why did they keep Deshaun? Right. And so that's very, very frustrating.
Yeah. And that leads to one or two people, rather, who were missing from the list of who Danny had good relationships with. You mentioned Heather already and Erica. And they weren't particularly close because also, like you mentioned before, he and Deshaun split up the women. He got close to Sydney. Deshaun got close to the other two.
Right.
And since he was associated with Sydney and, you know, the other two had beef with her, well, he got lumped into that. And so he just wasn't surprised when Erica and Heather kept Deshaun in the game instead of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, it was interesting seeing the results of these social relationships playing out. Xander wanted Danny out, but Heather wanted to keep Deshaun. And so she used, at least we got to see this part, you know, that she used challenges as an excuse.
Wasn't that Erica, not Heather?
I don't know. I say I have Heather on my notes.
I think
it
was Erica because she was talking to Deshaun on the beach, I think. But I don't know. But here's the thing.
There were multiple people. Yeah, that's right. Apparently they're the same person. one of the two of them, we'll go with one of the two of them, used it as an excuse. But even before Danny's interviews, it was clear that they were both closer to Deshaun from the conversations. And this, I think, is why I have Heather in here, because if you remember back to last week's episode, when Deshaun opened the box that kept him safe instead of dying, she was all out celebrating.
Yes.
I mean, her hands in the air. And trust me on this, because I watched that clip about 100 times when I was doing a TikTok.
For your TikTok?
So, yes. and so I got to see her hands flying up in the air multiple times. And so that's why it stuck with me. Like, wow, she is really celebrating a lot and openly for someone who is outside their alliance.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, Erica told Heather that, they would have more options with Deshaun. So they both pushed Xander and Ricard in that direction to get their way.
Right. But I also do think that the people who are sitting on the jury probably like Danny better than Deshaun, or have a better relationship with Danny than they do Deshaun, which I don't know if that was part of their figurine as well.
Yes. Well, I think it was.
Am I jumping ahead?
Well, I don't know that you are or not. There's a lot of stuff here that kind of is, you know, kind of amorphous into which exact rule it would fall into. But let's go to the sixth rule, which warns against being too much of a threat. And surprisingly, somehow a professional football safety didn't come off as being too much of a threat.
I know, right?
You know, I mean, he deserves kudos for that. Now, part of them was, of course, that he didn't tell them that part, but they knew at least he'd been an athlete, a college football player. Mm-hmm. The thing was, he didn't kill it in individual challenges to the point that I speculated that he might be throwing them.
Mm.
Now, at the time, and I tweeted that, Danny saw my tweet and just laughed. But in his interview with Mike, he said he wasn't throwing. He had lost his competitive spirit after having the win at the merge yanked away by Jeff's lie.
Yes.
As he said, my mind was like, you can win and then you actually lose. So should I go hard or is it even worth it? Now, he snapped out of it eventually, but it's, you know, kind of ironic. I think it actually helped him by avoiding being seen as a threat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that because it was very surprising when you saw the tribe's initial like breakdown with who was designated to which tribe. Mm-hmm. I looked at the blue tribe and I was like, yeah, they're going to do well because they had some very strong people on that mm-hmm. tribe. And sure enough, that's what we saw. We saw Love You like killing it mm-hmm. in all of the challenges. And he was always doing very well, but it wasn't ever like too well. You know, he's not a Ricard where Ricard is just doing incredibly amazing on all of the individual immunity challenges. And Danny talked about why. I mean, Ricard was a ballet dancer. I'd completely forgotten that. So he's got a lot of inner core strength and, mm-hmm. and his ability to balance. And so he can thrive at these types of challenges. And that's just not something that Danny is necessarily good at. So it is interesting to see the fact that a professional athlete doesn't do as well as someone who is, you know, not a professional athlete is actually doing better at challenges because the challenges are just structured in a way that it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete. It matters what type of strength you have as opposed to just being overall strong.
Yeah. 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 And now, I mean, even though Danny denied throwing, Sydney did tell Mike Bloom that he put on a bit of a performance. She said after one challenge, Danny fell over. He couldn't stand up. It turns out he was acting because he didn't want to come across to the other tribes that he was strong going into the merge.
Just look at the guy. He looks strong.
He looks strong, but, you know, he was on the ground. I know. So, but in the meantime, Danny worked on calling other people threats. Now, we mentioned earlier how he mm-hmm. wanted that label to be put on the schemers and the puzzle solvers rather than on the athletes. You know, and as one example, he talked about how he pointed out Evie as being a threat due to their ability to do the puzzle so quickly.
Right. And this is genius because I don't think we have seen enough survivors go into the game saying that. And he was saying it pregame. He was talking about it in his initial interviews that that's who he wants to focus on as being the threats because those are the people that win Survivor now. The people who are great at the social game and the puzzle people, the smart people, like those are the ones we need to really focus on. And I thought it was really amazing to see that because I do believe there's been a shift in Survivor where the people who are more likely to win are those types of people. And so great that he was calling that out at the very beginning and then trying to implement that narrative as the show actually progressed and to get people to focus on not the strong individuals, but the people who are solving puzzles like Evie in 2 seconds.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. Now, with all of that said, there was one place where Danny was a bigger threat than Deshaun, and you already nailed it. Social game.
Yeah.
You know, we discussed how Deshaun was running around, sometimes irritating people, and noted that Danny was the calming influence who was more well-liked. And you know, which would you rather face in front of the jury?
Right. And I do think that there is a really interesting thing that we saw happening here where I think Danny even recognized that about the relationship between he and Deshaun, because he talked about if they had made it to the end together, how he would be able to differentiate his game from Deshaun's. Even though they were making a lot of the same decisions together, there was a big difference with the approach that they were both taking. And we've talked about it numerous times on this podcast that sometimes it boils down to, who do I like more? Mm-hmm. If I played the game with both of these people, who do I just have a better relationship with? And I think Danny wins all day long. Not that Deshaun is a bad person. He's been great and very entertaining. But if what we're hearing is true, where he would kind of get a little aggravated and would start saying things, and then Danny would have to rein him back in, that can rub people the wrong way. And mm-hmm. we have seen Deshaun drop a truth bomb, right? And throw people under the bus. And Danny didn't do that. He didn't throw people under the bus, but Deshaun was very willing to do so. And Deshaun was playing a different type of game than Danny was playing. And so I do think that that's a very large component as to why he was probably the one where they were focused on voting out, as opposed to Deshaun, because he's just so likable.
Right, right. All right. The seventh rule covers idols and advantages, including how to handle them, deal with them, work around them. And it also covers navigating twists. We could start with idols, because Danny and Deshaun were busted by Nasir while looking for one, like, right away, within hours of hitting the beach.
Yep.
But as we discussed a bit earlier, that really didn't go anywhere. Danny said in interviews that he did a lot of searching throughout the game, but he never found anything, including the one that was right by him and which could have saved him in this episode. But yeah, there's not much you could do about that other than getting luckier.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes they just fall from the sky, right?
That's right. Well, you know,
at least this season, they've just been like randomly, like, it's like the camera guy just walked by and dropped it.
Yeah. Hey, look at that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, when Danny didn't find the idol, but had been gone long enough that Ricard figured he was looking for an idol, Danny did a good job of playing coy about whether he had it or not, which was a smart thing to do. You know, keep him guessing. And Ricard did believe, I think, that he had it, to the point they searched his bag, you know.
And can we just spend a second here on Ricard? I love that Ricard immediately just called Danny out on it. Like, Danny, got a little spring in your step there. Seem a little happier. Yeah. Did you find the idol? I think you found the idol. Were you looking for the idol? It was so much fun, because Ricard is like, yeah, I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Well, I mean, this whole season has been filled with everybody telling everyone everything.
I know.
So you might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah, that's good.
Now, even though Danny did a fine job here, he was in a position where it didn't alter the vote, because the other four could split their votes on him and Deshaun and do exactly what they did.
Right.
So unfortunately, faking an idol didn't really matter.
But he tried.
He tried. As far as dealing with twists. Yes. Danny made it clear on the show, and even clearer to Jeff in ways we apparently didn't see, how he felt about the hourglass time travel twist, or as he told Rob and others, not a twist, a lie.
Yes.
Now, I ranted quite a bit about this at the time, both here on TikTok, anywhere anyone would listen to me, told the mailman, told the dog next door, you know. But I totally side with Danny.
Yeah.
Jeff told them if they played hard and won, they'd get immunity. He just plain lied.
Yes.
I have to imagine this is even more demoralizing for a professional athlete. It's like, oh, you intercepted that ball. You ran it back across the opposing goal line. But sorry, you didn't realize that for this set of downs, we secretly decided that the end zone switched. So you scored for the other team. You know, now, obviously that's never going to happen, but it shouldn't happen on Survivor either.
No, I loved how he was so very clear about this, you know, that he said the only reason you would go out there is to compete. And this is someone who is a competitor, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was able to lie to us, to trick us and make us work as hard as we did just for it to be taken away from us, it just wasn't cool with me.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so great that he is willing to still like say this and stick to this, because he's even admitted so much that like, I don't want to play this game again. If this is what they're going to do to us, I'm not interested, because that's not the way Survivor ever has been. And that's not the way that Survivor should be. It's not a twist. He is completely 100% mm-hmm. correct. And you said it when it happened that Jeff Probst lied to the players. And he clearly did, because this player is very clear about how it was presented and what his response to it was is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, he said that he would not play again unless there's a problem, or I'm sorry, a promise that this sort of thing is off the table. Now, you know, I might ask, how would you know if they're telling the truth if they make you that promise?
It's all bad.
Yeah.
It's all bad.
Now, one other thing. This was, even though, you know, some people might say, well, look, he survived it. What's the big deal? Well, Danny's connection at Love You was Sydney.
Yeah.
And why did Sydney leave? Because of the hourglass twist.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, not solely. We discussed it at the time.
Right.
Of course,
but it was a certainly, huge part of it, for sure.
Right, right. And so things just piled on for him. You know, besides being lied to, he had a negative result from it, too, as well.
Yeah. And he also chose Erica to go to the island as opposed to Nasir, and was even questioning that right. I would have sent Nasir if I had known that that's something that was going to happen. I would have sent Nasir.
Now,
we were always curious, like, what would Nasir do? Would he do right. what Erica did?
Oh, I'm sure he would have.
Right.
I mean, we still think that we talked at the time. He should have sent Nasir. They should have sent Nasir.
Right.
Because you should know something is going to be going on there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, and then, you know, it would have ended up with Erica being available to vote out.
Mm-hmm.
Would they have? Maybe. But.
Right. Yeah.
So. All right.
I'm with you, Danny. That was terrible.
Exactly.
Hated it.
All right. So we can move to Appendix A, which is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, last week, I discussed about the new core group voting out those who weren't in their alliance. And that continued this week as, you know, both Danny and Deshaun arrived at tribal council knowing one of them would be getting the boot. Of course, people could have gotten together and formed a new alliance. It just wasn't going to happen. Now, probably would have if Picard had won immunity. I'm sorry, had not won immunity.
Mm-hmm.
But when that possibility went away, it just seemed like all the others were okay with each other. You know, if they were really worried about keeping someone who could beat Ricard in immunity challenges, they should have voted out Heather. But mm-hmm. when they debated that, they only had two options in mind, and it was the two options outside their alliance.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's correct thinking. Don't get me wrong. It's just don't start by saying, well, we want to keep the people who are the best suited to beat him and then just totally ignore Heather.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It's unfortunate that Danny and Deshaun found themselves in this place, because I do think from what we've learned from Danny as well, with his exit press, there's a really big desire to keep Xander around, too, which is amazing to me that this is the approach they're all taking to Xander. So there's a lot of things at play that we're not necessarily seeing. And there's a lot of things that are being thought through, which we did hear some of that discussion at Tribal Council.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a decision regarding a player for one person is going to be completely different than a decision regarding a player for another person, because everyone's end game will look different. And who you're sitting next to at the end is really a personal choice, and what you think about your own game versus the people sitting next to you. And so each person sitting there is clearly having these discussions with themselves and has made a decision as to who I want to see in the end, as opposed to, well, we got to get Ricard out. I think they're working on that just in a different way.
Yeah. 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 And we saw Erica talk about that. Like, well, they should all want Deshaun out, but I want Deshaun in. So mm-hmm. I have to convince them because it's better for me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that comes to the main question, you know, for this appendix, why they chose to vote out Danny over Deshaun. Now, we've already addressed this earlier when we talked about the relationship between Deshaun and Erica and Heather, including the way the two women pushed the other guys to vote out Danny. Erica even had told us just what I said, you know, about, hey, look, this is my game. She just laid it right out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, clearly she succeeded in getting what she wanted to happen. But just as clearly, it turned out Deshaun wasn't really into working with her and blew up her game at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Of course, by that time, the vote had been decided and everybody stuck to it instead of getting up and running around.
So nice.
Yes.
So nice. The Chicken Alliance.
Yeah, chicken and veggies. Don't forget the veggies.
She just called it the Chicken Alliance.
Well, she must have just shortened it. You got to use the whole word. I don't know. All right, well, we can move to Appendix B, which talks about the jury phase of the game. I mean, it didn't so much come into play here. It's not like someone said, ooh, I want Danny on there, other than, of course, they would rather face Deshaun at the end rather than facing Danny.
Right.
I do think it could benefit Deshaun that Danny went there first if Deshaun sticks around.
Oh, for sure.
But it's not like Danny or Deshaun had any say in it, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. Mm-hmm. I see that.
So it's about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts?
I am so impressed with Danny. When the season began, he was someone that I was excited to see play because I'm always fascinated how people who are competitors in their everyday existence, in their lives, their livelihood, their jobs, how they will play the game. We've seen baseball players. We've seen other football players. We've seen basketball players. There's been a lot of professional athletes play this game, and it is always interesting to see how they fit into this type of world. And one of the things that Danny talked about in his exit press, which I thought was great, was when he's competing in the NFL, he is being provided everything he needs to compete at his best, right? He's being given everything he needs to excel. Survivor strips that all away from you, takes it away from you, and still expects you to compete at your best. And so it's such an interesting dynamic to see someone like Danny experience this. And I love that he experienced it the way that he did and presented himself the way that he did, because he really did play the game in the way he wanted to play it. He had clearly studied Survivor and knew what he should and shouldn't do. He knew he shouldn't panic. He knew he needed to be calm. And he knew he needed to kind of roll with what was happening. One of the things he also talked about was if anyone found out he was an NFL player or called him out on it, he wasn't going to lie. He was going to own it. And I love that, too, because he was clearly thinking through everything. He didn't want to create lies if he didn't need to. But he wasn't going to tell people if he didn't need to either. So as far as Danny's game is concerned, he did an incredible job figuring out how to play the game and figuring out who to play the game with. Unfortunately for Danny, it required a lot of decisions in those, you know, heat of the moment kind of things, where I think probably his competitive nature helped him when you have to make a split second decision. And I think we saw that with Danny, where he really needed to process things that were happening and make a decision. But it was always a decision based upon what was best for his game. Unfortunately, it didn't jive with what other people were doing. And I think Danny ended up presenting himself as a threat to people because of his likability, his social ability to interact and understand people who he's playing the game with. And in the end, it was down to Deshaun and Danny. And unfortunately, Danny was the one that was better suited for the jury and not suited to sit next to certain people in the end. So Danny, I really, really hope that you are chilling out in your jacuzzi and you're watching some TV. I hope you decide to play the game again sometime. And maybe, you know, if they call us both back, we can discuss our lack of edit as far as our strategy components and relationships that we've created when we were playing the game. So there are my thoughts on
Danny. And your love of horrible twists. Yes.
Oh God. Yes, that was terrible.
Yes.
Anyway, everybody knows that.
Yeah. All right. Danny, to echo what you said, seems to be an incredibly nice guy, and I'm somewhat annoyed that we didn't get to see more of his game. But I guess that comes from the fact that he wasn't trying to play flashy or with big moves, but rather slow and steady and smart the way a good player should play. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if he, Deshaun, Shan, Liana, and perhaps Ricard had made it further together. But alas, was not to be so, as he was the third victim in a row from that alliance. Earlier, I absolved him of blame for telling Liana and Shan about the anti-Ricard plan, But it really was that chain of events that led us to this point. Of course, there were other links in the chain as well. By lying to Xander, he lost trust there, and Xander wasn't willing to work with him anymore. By dividing up the Love You Women with Deshaun in terms of making social bonds, he ended up on the bad side with Sydney gone at the merge and the two he didn't particularly get along with still there. And although he kept his threat level low, he was basically in a two-way race this week with his tight ally, Deshaun. He'd worked so hard to keep Deshaun on the straight and narrow, but that ended up as a strike against him because Deshaun made enemies while Danny just had too many friends. I mean, look at how the jury reacted so sadly when he was voted out. Danny was outside the main alliance, outside the smaller chicken and veggie alliance, and he had lost his side allies. He had nobody but Deshaun left to work with, and Deshaun was the other neck on the chopping block. So that wasn't terribly helpful. Worse, Deshaun had the support of Erica and Heather and was seen as having less support from the jury. And that is why Danny lost.
So sad.
So sad. All right. Well, before we get to our rather extensive finale predictions.
Oh, Lord.
Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available. Both, of course, the, you know, there's the long form rules. There's the rules poster. Rules t-shirt, rules checklist, shirt. Oh, your poster over there. You're trying to show.
Oh, there we go. I got
mug.
It.
There you go. You got it. Very good. And of course, you know, everything else that that goes along with that. You go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Yes. And you should definitely order everything. Just order everything. Just order it all.
I just thought there were going to be some specific things there. It's like, nope,
no,
order
just everything. Just order it all.
Yes.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It's supporting a great cause. You're supporting what you love, and that's Survivor. And also, and the other, you know, there's just so many things with RHAP that you can purchase. It's not mm-hmm. just Survivor related. So you should definitely go and check out the link because there's just incredible products there.
Right. Right. All right. That means it's time for finale prediction. I have to tell you, this has been driving me crazy ever since this week's episode aired, and even more crazy after Danny's interviews and seeing or hearing everyone else's opinions on it.
Why is it driving you crazy?
Trying to figure it out.
Oh, I got it figured out. Oh, it's fine.
Okay.
We're
well, oh, Jessica, you're right. There's a lot to process. I mean, like, really. Erica thinks she can't go to the end with Heather? That's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk.
But
I don't buy it.
Yeah, yeah. So despite Erica's belief, I'm eliminating Heather right off the bat. That is a surprise to absolutely nobody.
What do you mean you're eliminating Heather right off the bat?
She can't win.
Oh, you're just talking about winners.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm not going to get into the 5-4-3-2-1 of it all.
That's, oh, okay. All
yeah,
right.
That's great. Okay. If you want to do that, by all means. But
sure.
But I'm, you know, I had so much to worry about just from the winner perspective. I couldn't even go any deeper than
you
that.
You crack me up. So much to worry about.
It is. It's a lot.
Oh, my goodness. So stressful.
I mean, I got to be able to hold up this sign. There's a lot of stress.
Oh, there's
about
a lot
that.
Of stress there.
There is.
I can't wait to send you your Christmas present.
All right. Well, so anyway, that brings us to four possibilities. I will. And you can chime in at any point. Like if you think Heather's going to win, by all means, chime in now.
No.
OK. I didn't think so.
OK.
So I'll address Erica next. I know a lot of people think she will win. I can't guarantee she won't. I just don't see it, though. I think her edit was too purple for too long. I don't see who she could reasonably beat. Plus, in his word association, Danny said lucky for Erica up to this point. And that's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I really feel like somebody else said lucky, too.
I feel like you're right.
I feel like Sydney said lucky, too.
Maybe. Maybe
there was definitely someone else that said lucky.
Yeah. So I mean, I realize that we got a scene from her this week talking about how she wants a woman, preferably her, to win. But just because production recognized this ongoing issue enough to leave it in the show doesn't mean it's a sign that happens.
Right.
You know, remember, Sandra and Boston Rob talked about a woman winner in Island of the Idols. Remember, Danny's comments about hating the twist were included earlier this season. So production isn't only putting supportive comments into the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like what Erica said was included to kind of show that the producers know it's happening. Look, we're not burying our heads in the sand. We know it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that Erica wins. Just
right.
Recognizing that it's an issue doesn't mean it gets remedied today, you know, this week.
Right.
So that's where I am with Erica. What about Deshaun? I think he's a viable possibility. But after everything Danny said about how much he irritated people, not to mention what we heard from some earlier jurors, like Tiffany mentioning that he bullied her, he has a steep climb. It would be interesting to see whether Shan and Liana would forgive him or not. I mentioned earlier, I think his cause was helped by Danny getting booted and explaining everything at Ponderosa. I just still don't know if they're willing to give him the win.
Mm.
Not to mention, he blew up his game with Erica and the whole jury saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying no to Deshaun. Okay, we're down to two. This is the biggest decision. And yes, it has been driving me crazy. I've been going back and forth. Ricard or Xander? Now, regular listeners know I've gone back and forth with these two as my winner pick. Time to decide once and for all. It comes down to whether I trust my gut or my edit read. My gut says Ricard should win because he's played the best game from what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching a dozen or so season rewatches with you and podcasting about them during the long off season, we were certainly reminded that the best player of the season often doesn't win because they're not around by the end.
Right.
Okay. We know Ricard is a huge target. I don't see him making it to final three. He can't make it to final three.
He can't because then he wins. Right.
Well, right. But he has to win all the immunities and or find an idol and or win fireman.
Right.
It's possible. We've seen people do it.
Sure.
I don't know. I just don't feel like he will. It's still a lot to ask. Even though we've seen it happen, it's a lot to ask. I think Ricard is the David Wright of this season.
Oh, my God. That's what I was going to say. He's getting the David Wright edit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get rid of him. Danny and Deshaun are calling people idiots for not voting him out when they had the chance.
And the jury's like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what will happen with Ricard. And we will all mourn his loss.
Yes, I completely agree. So you think Xander wins?
I think Xander wins.
See, that's fascinating.
Yes. So let me go through it and then you can tell me whether you agree with me or not.
Okay.
Because, there's the question. A lot of people said, well, we heard the Danny interviews and now we realize there's no way Xander can win. Because he said people didn't consider Xander a threat and that's why they left him and the idol in the game.
Right.
He told Dalton a lot of people did not respect the game that he was playing. A lot of people thought that when he stepped out of challenges that it was for show and it wasn't because he really cared.
Mm-hmm.
Danny also raised in other interviews that the jurors knew what Xander did and didn't do. Tiffany, Evie, Nasir all made specific mention in interviews about how he didn't deserve credit for, for example, the idol gambit against Liana.
Mm-hmm.
OK, so how can I pick Xander after having said all this? Well, I looked at the way Danny phrased his interviews and it caught my attention because the way he worded it, he was talking about what people felt at the time. He was definitely talking about it in past tense and how they felt at the time. And maybe that was how they felt at the time. But when you get to the actual final tribal council and you see who he's up against, maybe their minds change.
Right.
Maybe he does things in the finale to help convince them, like getting rid of Ricard. I have mainly, though, decided to protect Xander as the winner because of the trend I've been discussing over the past couple of weeks of the show force feeding him to us.
He has been force fed for sure.
Yes. he gets a confessional, cleverly using the word that it turns out Tiffany made up, mergatory. He gets on-screen credit for the idol play against Liana, even though we know it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
He's shown talking about how he got Shan out with just a little fine print about it being part of Ricard's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Once again this week, he was talking about something, and there was a specific mention of, well, it was a strategic decision on my part.
Yeah.
And we also saw him discussing the jury management phase as if he'd learned it from Appendix B of the rules.
I know! It's like he's listening.
Or Voce taught him that before, you know, they booted Voce.
That's true.
So I just have to go with my read of the edit in the same way I went with my read of the preview edit to predict Danny getting voted out this week.
Fascinating.
You know, and then on top of it, the preview has Xander talking about the other players. And I don't care if there's food or not. They're going to be crumbling as I rise to the top. Oh, very clever, producers. Very clever. Now, if I'm wrong and Ricard actually pulls this out.
You don't get to hold up your sign.
Well, I'll always hold up my sign. But yeah, if Ricard actually pulls this out, then we will go back to what Jeff said at the beginning of the season. We've heard multiple times since. Drop the four and keep the one. Well, this would be drop the H and keep the Ricard. Going back to season one.
Mm-hmm.
But my official prediction is that Xander will be our winner.
Very fascinating. So I have a little bit of a different approach because I've been thinking the same thing about Xander, that he is being force-fed to us and that there has to be a reason for production doing this. Why are they force-feeding us all of these things about Xander unless it means something? Now, then I think about my season and something we've already talked about, the edit, and what they left out and what they showed, right? My relationship with Ken, highlighted. My relationship with Adam, non-existent. My relationship with Adam and Ken was like this with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They left it out because they wanted it to appear as if I would vote for Ken. I don't know why that would have been more exciting, but that's what they decided. So my take on Xander is they want people to believe he has a shot when he's sitting in that final three. And so it's a little more of a like, ooh, because they did that with Ken. They really tried to make it appear as if Ken was going to have a chance sitting in that final three. That final three was decided before we even kind of sat down. I mean, it was great listening to Adam and Ken and Hannah talk about their game, but really we knew what was going to be happening because we played with all of them. And I feel like every jury walks in kind of already having an idea in their head as to who they're going to vote for.
Yeah. And so if anyone goes back to our recent Why Adam Lost, or I'm sorry, Why Adam Won with Adam.
Right.
Excuse me. I quote from all the Jury Speaks videos, which were all done before people even got to the final tribal council.
Right. Yeah.
And so that, you know, goes to what you were saying about everyone had their minds made up before they even got there.
For sure. And so I do think that that's part of the reason why they're presenting Xander to us in the way that they are, because they want people watching the final tribal council going, oh, there's, you know, Xander's done so well, because if you have just viewers who are not reading any of the exit press, they're not seeing the scenes that are not, you know, the secret scenes, they're not going to know that Xander didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, the poor souls who don't hear this podcast.
Right. People who are completely
deprived,
misinformed because they're relying solely on the edit. So they're going to watch thinking, oh, Xander has a chance. And it would be fascinating, I think, if Xander did win. I do think that it would be, I wouldn't mind if Xander ended up winning, because I do think that he at least should get some credit for those things because he did help pull them off. They might not have been his idea, but he helped. So this is why I'm going to read the edit differently in regards to Deshaun.
Okay, let me say one thing before you move on to Deshaun.
Yeah.
I fully agree that that is a possibility.
Yeah.
And it is one that I considered also, that they could be elevating Xander so it makes it look more competitive at the end.
Right.
If I will say this, if that's what they're doing, I think it's stupid, because that means you're putting all this stuff in there throughout the whole season for a few minutes of suspense near the end.
Right. Oh, yeah. But that's what they want. They want it to be suspenseful.
I know. So go ahead. So, I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, this is a big moment, right? Who's going to win? Now, before I speak about Deshaun, I do want to spend a little bit of time on Ricard, because I think, again, Ricard is being presented to us as a David Wright. I completely agree with that analogy. He's been a narrator for much of the season. We've really learned a lot about Ricard, you know, his personal content, but also just his game moves have been impeccable, and the ability to maneuver through all of this and really control what's been happening in the game. Amazing. And we've talked about how well he is at everything he does. He never seems to be panicking. He always seems to be in control. That to me is a true sign of someone who is about to get snuffed. And I feel terrible that that's going to happen, because Ricard is an awesome human being.
It's not where I thought you were going with that. That's a true sign of someone who's about to get snuffed.
He's
going to
get snuffed. So I think and the other thing too, that if you really look at the edit, what's been happening, there's been a lot of discussions, and there was a secret scene just about this between Xander and Ricard talking about immunity challenges. How many have you won? How many have you won? They're both acknowledging the fact that one of those two will win the next immunity challenge. And that's what they've been doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the next immunity challenge will be won by Xander, which is then going to leave Ricard wide open, because he doesn't have an idol. And I think that will be the time that everyone finally sees the light and says, well, now we have to vote him out. And they're going to vote out Ricard. So then we're down to four. But we have fire making, which we all know how much we despise fire making at four. So there's that little bit of an issue too. Who's going to end up making fire? I do think that Xander is probably just going to go on a run. He's probably going to win the next immunity challenge as well. And then it will come down to Xander kind of making that choice, right? Who does he want to see sitting there? And I think he's going to probably put Erica and Deshaun against each other making fire. Because Heather, we've already determined, really doesn't have much of a game outside of Erica. And so Xander will put Deshaun against Erica. I think Deshaun is going to make fire. I think it's going to, because this is something no one has focused on, right? We really haven't seen who's been making fire. Like, I don't remember it being like a
The
sick.
Only things we have seen were a few people who are gone, and Erica being very proud that she made fire by herself on Exile.
That is true. She did. So I just feel like it's going to end up being Deshaun and Xander and Heather in that final three. And that Deshaun has been edited in a way that's going to make people feel like there's going to be bitter jurors and they're going to be angry at him. And we saw the comment that Shan made calling him a snake. And so he's really going to have to redeem himself in Final Tribal Council and apologize and make people understand why he was playing the game that he was. And one of the things that he was talking about pregame was how he wanted to, it was the devil on the shoulder, which you've already mentioned, I think, once during this podcast, where he was going to be that social guy and he was going to be really friendly, but he was really going to be scheming and being sneaky and wanting to wreak havoc. And so I think he's going to have an opportunity to try to redeem himself. And I do think Danny is going to be a huge part of Deshaun's ability to pull out a win, because he's going to be explaining, as we saw in his Ponderosa, why they did what they did with the Shan vote. And I think he's going to be the one that will kind of smooth those relationships out between Liana and Shan. And then you've got, if Liana and Shan forgive him, they're voting for Deshaun, and you've got Danny voting for Deshaun. That's three votes already, right?
Yeah.
And I just feel like there is going to be enough of an ability for Deshaun to really have that redemption. Mm-hmm. And that all of these things that the edit is doing is trying to convince us of a narrative that doesn't really exist, that somehow Deshaun is unlikable and he's hurt people and he's made people feel bad. And not that he hasn't, but I think this is going to be his moment to redeem himself. And I feel like it's going to end up being Deshaun. Which frustrates the hell out of me, because I was considering him as my winner pick way at the beginning, and I convinced myself not to. I'm so mad at myself.
Yeah. Terrible. Well, he hasn't won yet. I will say everything you said makes complete and logical sense.
Yours too. And so
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
I just wish they would show the, I almost swore, like really. Okay. Just show us them playing the game. Like the edit, the fact that like they have to edit things a certain way to try to like make it appear like it's this and then it's that. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop. Let it just be what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we have it. I'm predicting. I almost said picking, but it's really predicting. I'm not picking Xander. I'm not saying I don't like Xander or anything like that. It's just, you know, he's not my pick. He's my prediction. And similarly, Deshaun, your prediction. And so, you know, I would be happy with a number of different people on here. I won't say exactly what that number is because it might offend some people, but a number of different people of the final five, I would be happy with. Right. So, all right. Well, as we wrap everything up here, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. December. Yeah, we're only, you know, week and a half into it. So it's still a great month to become a patron. You can get access to our weekly Survivor 41 Q&A show, the patron five for five and more. Plus, the night before the finale, if you join right now, Jordan Kalish will once again have a huge live patron trivia event. So again, if you're not a patron that interests you, join right away. Adam Klein, we mentioned, you know, this past week, he did, I don't know, more than 2 hours discussing like how to apply and you know, dealing with that. And you become a patron now, I believe you can still go back and access that. So, so you know, join. And then also when Rob isn't directly talking to people, there's the Facebook groups and Discord to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us on Facebook. You could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. You know, we've got Celebrity Big Brother coming up. We've got Amazing Race coming up, starting in less than a month. That's crazy. You know, and by joining and becoming a patron, you support shows like ours and everything on the network. So go to robhasawebsite.com/patron or click on the link at our robhasawebsite.com/YXLost feed page. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
Yes, and you should also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89, and he is at David Bloomberg. You should certainly follow us both so you can get both sides of the story. And we tweet during the episodes, spoiler, warning, all of those things, live tweeting. So get ready for the hashtag Survivor on all of our tweets. We also tweet during the week. And when Survivor comes to a close, it will be very, very sad. And then I'll just have to find other ways to poke fun at David Bloomberg for stealing things that I post on Twitter.
Oh,
but anyway,
please.
So you should definitely follow us both. And I'm going to mention David Bloomberg's TikTok. He is at David_Bloomberg.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That is his TikTok. You should definitely check it out because he puts a lot of work into these videos that he creates. I am fascinated. I'm like, how many times has he rewatched this episode to get all of these particular sections into this clip? Very impressive. So you should definitely follow him on TikTok as well.
Well, thank you. Yes. And you can also go to, if for some reason you don't want to join TikTok, but you're on Instagram, a day later, I usually post it. Not everything. Got to save some for just the TikTok only people at david.e.bloomberg. And again, as you mentioned before, you can go to the YX Lost feed page. There's a link to my Twitter, your Twitter, my TikTok.
I love them, the TikTok.
So also, you should make sure you're subscribed to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts. Mm-hmm. Again, you can go to the feed page and you can just right there click on Reality TV Wrap Ups on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. That will get you on, you know, the wrap ups. You can also at the top subscribe to the whole Survivor feed. So lots of different ways to do it on the YX Lost feed.
Makes it very easy for you to do everything.
That's right. That's right. And you'll get everything from the know-it-alls, the B&B, Taryn Armstrong, Stockwatch, Shannon Gus's International, everything.
Mm-hmm. All good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can I thank people now?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to thank Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does for our Why Blank Lost podcast. And he also does all of the editing for the RHAP podcasts. So you should definitely check them all out. Thank you, Scott, for all of the incredible work that you do. I know that you work very diligently throughout the night. We appreciate it very, very much. And also thank you to Will from America for the theme song that he created for David and I. It is incredible. It's awesome. You should definitely check it out. And that should become your ringtone, not this other song that David keeps playing for you, because the Will from America song is so much better. So just
why
know
not
that.
Both? Why not both?
No, just that one. You don't need the other one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and thank you, Jessica, for once again joining me and, you know, trying to go head to head with me with predictions. And
oh, God, here we go. Listen,
you're probably going to get this next one right. And then you'll just be able.
And
to,
then you know. I am going to be celebrating. I will be dancing.
Yeah, but just remember that I have control over, you know, the video.
Oh, you get ready. You just get ready. Because if I'm right, forget about it. You could turn me off all you want. People are going to know. They're going to know that I'm right.
All right.
Get ready.
Well,
and thank
everybody.
You.
Yes, we will see everyone for the finale. You know, we'll have lots to discuss there, I'm sure. And with that, I just want to say, go Bears!
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this-